This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The government isn't shutting down. CBS's Christopher Cruz with what's in the latest budget bill that just passed the Senate late last night.
The $467.5 billion package passed on a bipartisan 75-22 vote. It funds the Departments of Agriculture, Transportation, Interior, Justice, Housing and Urban Development, Energy and Veterans Affairs. It increases the hiring budget for air traffic controllers and rail safety inspectors, gives federal firefighters a raise, and boosts support for homeless veterans. It funds the agencies through September 30th.
It will be a whirlwind few weeks for President Biden and Vice President Harris, with plans to travel to every battleground state. Yale historian David Blight.
They need to get disaffected people who are not thrilled with Joe Biden, who think he is too old, who believe the American system is not truly working for them, to realize they still have to save it because it's the only democracy we have.
The president's campaigning in Georgia today ahead of the state's primary on Tuesday. A ship carrying humanitarian aid is preparing to head for Gaza in a sea corridor the U.S. built. The BBC's Wira Davis is in Jerusalem.
On that barge would be around, we understand, 200 tons of aid. Problem is that when it gets to Gaza, there's no port in Gaza. There's a war going on. There's no obvious way to safely remove and then distribute all of that aid. And it's a real logistical nightmare.
A federal court approves an immigration program supported by the Biden administration.
U.S. District Judge Drew Tipton, a Trump appointee in Victoria, Texas, ruled in favor of President Biden's humanitarian parole program. It allows up to 30,000 asylum seekers into the U.S. each month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela combined. Texas and 20 other Republican-led states sued, arguing the program is forcing them to spend millions on health care, education, and public safety for the migrants. Advocates for the federal government countered that the migrants admitted through the policy helped with a U.S. farm labor shortage. Texas is expected to appeal. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
And while the Oscars are tomorrow, today it is the 44th annual Razzie Awards, celebrating the worst movies of the year. Winners, if you can call them that, get Golden Raspberry Awards. Leading the nominations is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Christopher, all of Ashdown will burn.
Oh, shocked that isn't up for an Academy Award. That's terrifying. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Americans lost more money to scams and fraud than ever before last year. $10 billion, according to the Federal Trade Commission. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Consumer education and awareness of scams is an ongoing challenge. Scammers are constantly changing their tactics and using AI and other technology to bait more people. Judy Dollison of the Better Business Bureau says scams are increasingly complex and overlapping, and often involve emotional and psychological manipulation.
We're seeing a crossover between romance scams and crypto scams, because now instead of the romance scammers just asking for money, they're asking their victims to invest in crypto exchanges, which aren't real.
Dollison says 80% of people who've reported losing money to investment scams involving cryptocurrency lost on average more than $3,000. For adults ages 18 to 44, employment scams are the top risk, with an average loss of around $2,000. Consumers who suspect they've been victims of fraud can file a report with the Federal Trade Commission. Federal Trade Commission attorney Phil DeBenate says, aside from software scams, the second most reported scam involves imposters.
There are those scammers pretending to be the government. There are scammers pretending to be a well-known business or a bank's fraud department or a family member who needs help.
Common imposter cons include people pretending to be affiliated with government agencies like the IRS or Social Security Administration, charity-related scams, and tech support scams. This is Nadia Ramlagan. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gund Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Tune in for a big Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll take your phone calls. We'll give you all the headlines. Devil's Advocates, 4 to 6 statewide.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, highs in the low 40s with a chance of rain and snow. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 29. Sunshine, mid-40s on your Sunday. Mid-50s on Monday with sunshine. For Tuesday, partly sunny, we push into the upper 50s.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Face of my conscience, coming to understand myself, clear out all the old cobwebs, clean out your books from the shelf. Well, this song's inspired by a good man and it's true, doing good for others, sing Amazing Grace to you, yeah. It doesn't really matter if you're all jumbled up inside, as long as you know the love is endless and the world is wide.
Right around the corner from Theodore Young Park, we are proud. Our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw.
Awesome work, Johnny. The pain is intoxicating if the music isn't loud enough. Those are the words of one of my favorite musicians, Miami Stephen Van Zandt. But hey, speaking of women's suffrage, it's Women's History Month and a belated but very happy International Women's Day yesterday. And to honor both, I am honored to have two remarkable women who are candidates for our school board, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
And today, in addition to spending the next 2 hours with these candidates, we have local news, local sports, and local culture throughout the show, including new polling places, more information on the upcoming election and absentee voting, the Carroll Minute, and some news from our high schools and so much more. And I wanted to start first because of the time-sensitive nature is today is another opportunity to participate in the Waukesha Strong Community Tile Project. That's today, March 9th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Waukesha Public Library, just right around the corner here from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Everyone's invited to engrave a clay tile that will be installed as part of the parade memorial at Greedy Park. The cost of the tile is $25, with all proceeds going to the Parade Memorial Fund. Tools and stamps are provided for you to work on your tile. We hope to see you at the library on March 9th. So anyway, back to my guest, candidates for school board, Stephanie Fidlin and Angelique Byrne. Originally, I had Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, but since Stephanie was here first, we'll start with Stephanie. Angelique got caught in the train, so which, you know, everyone's welcome to Waukesha, but... or we should say, if you've lived here, you know what that's all about. But so we're going to start like we would in a normal job interview. Stephanie, tell us about yourself.
Wow. Well, I'm Stephanie Fidlin. I'm a nurse here in Waukesha, and I have three kids in the school district. And so I've been volunteering for a long time with PTO and just seeing what's going on in the schools and things and wanted to give more support. And so it was like, thought, well, I think it's time to take this to the next level. So I'm running for a school board, which is something that's out of my element, but I've been learning a lot and I'm really excited. So.
Sounds great. And before we start with Angelique, I want to remind you, we're taking your calls today at 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789. Now, Angelique, your turn.
All right. I'm Angelique Byrne. I've lived here in Waukesha for over 20 years. I went to college here, and that's how I ended up in Waukesha. I went to Carroll. I'm an instructional coach at the Valar Phillips School, which is located in the Juvenile Justice Center. So I've been in education for about 20 years. Wow. And I briefly worked in Waukesha, and I decided I really wanted to run for school board after being in some other districts and just feeling like Waukesha needs some change in communication and more innovative spaces and environments and curriculum here. So that's what brought me here today.
Sounds great. And I was looking at both of your campaign websites, and could you, for everyone's benefit, what's your campaign website URL, Stephanie?
I'm StephanieForSDW.com.
Stephanie for S as in Sam, D as in David, W as in Waukesha.com. And then Angelique. Actually, I think I have it up here.
Yeah, they've got to look.
So it's Angelique Byrne for Waukesha.com. So Angel, IQUEBYRNE. For Waukesha.com. And Angelique, one thing, I mean, obviously very impressed with your educational background, and I think that you would probably bring a lot of unique insights to the board. And you mentioned something about you want to address the lack of transparency in both short and long-term district planning. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So I worked in a local district just neighboring Waukesha, and now I work for the Wauwatosa School District. And the whole time I lived here, I just felt like I never really knew what was going on in the Waukesha schools. And when I was looking for things for my kids, thinking about what schools were best for them. But then the more I was here, and especially when I was working here, realizing there wasn't a lot of information about what they were doing about declining enrollment. When they were closing schools, there was a lot of uproar in the community. And I just kept reflecting on the other places I worked. I knew exactly what was going on as both a parent and a district employee. And they gave us all the numbers, all the facts, what would happen because right. of the state funding. And I just don't sure. feel like they do that here in Waukesha.
Okay. So, and then real quick with Stephanie is you have a healthcare background as a nurse here in Waukesha and also a certified emergency nurse. Did I get that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, and so kind of a two-part question. Well, let's start with that is like, how do you feel your healthcare background could serve you well as a member of the school board?
I think that our kids right now, there's a lot of mental health troubles with the kids. You know, these are the kids that lived through COVID and the isolation and everything that happened. And now they're doing well getting back into the classrooms and, you know, getting back to face-to-face and all that was great. But there's still, these are the kids that are also growing up with so much technology and social media. There's new and challenging issues that we sure. didn't fortunately have to deal with.
Right.
And it puts this huge mental health burden on kids. And we see in the ER every day, kids coming in for, you know, having behavioral health crises, whether it's suicidal ideation or things like that,
sure.
Self-harm. And, you know, just thinking about, if kids coming into school with that sort of mental burden,
right.
how could they possibly be focused on math or reading or things like
sure.
that? You know,
sure.
so just needing those resources to really address some of those things. And yes, it starts at home, but of course, school is a large part of their day. And so school needs those resources as well to help them in those times of crisis. So,
yeah. sure. And so do you think that, so basically, is it fair to say the school district isn't maybe being proactive about addressing these behavioral health issues, as well as the fact that even though COVID's behind us, a lot of kids, you know, during some very formative times in their development were adversely impacted by that.
Yeah.
What's your assessment of how the district's been dealing with that?
I think leadership? That the schools are doing the best they can with the resources that they have. I think they need more resources. You know, I mean, we have great counselors and teachers, you know, and administrators that are, you know, school resource officers that are stepping in and doing, you know, amazing things with the kids day by day. But there's more kids that need help and there's more help than they can do. You know what I mean? So,
right.
so we just need more resources. And I think
sure.
just expanding some of those things would do really great for the schools.
Okay, terrific. Angelique, back to you. Another interesting point you made on your website is, and I quote, "I believe schools should help students see all paths for post-secondary learning and training. I hope the district will expand strong partnerships with local businesses and educational institutions and build more accessible programs through internship partners, WCTC, and four-year colleges and universities." Could you expand on that?
Yeah, I worked in a school that was a Fine Arts Charter School, and we did a lot with the community. And it was so powerful to be able to take students' interests and find them ways to experience things they might want to do after high school so they could make decisions. I had a student go over to the elementary school, and she thought she wanted to be a teacher. And after a year of helping in the classroom, said, oh, this really isn't for me. And I think that's really, really important. And I know there are some of those things happening in Waukesha, as all school districts, but I think it could really be expanded, to be reaching more kids and also having more pathways for parents to see, here are some choices my kids could make to get there. And I would love to see more partnerships with WCTC and other community educational places as well.
Okay. Yeah, because I've, you know, we've been to the college fair that the school has, and it looks like there's a fair amount of representation from schools and vocational programs and the military organizations. But you're saying we could be doing so much more.
Yeah, I think more while they're in high school. Like, right, we're preparing for kids to leave us and go do those things. But if we could expose them more while they're in high school and have more real-world application, even when you're in the school building.
Sure.
If we're just relying on the traditional curriculums,
okay,
it's more abstract. Sure. It's not that real-life connection.
Yeah. Well said, well said. So real quick, the election that Stephanie and Angelique are running in for school, that takes place on Tuesday, April 2nd, so right around the corner. If you want to absentee vote by mail, go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. You can request that an absentee ballot be mailed to you. Please note that absentee ballot applications must be reviewed every calendar year, if not on a permanent list due to age, illness, or disability. In-person absentee voting, which I'm a big proponent of, takes place at City Hall on Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd from 8 to 4:30. Monday, March 25th through Thursday, March 28th, 8 to 4:30. And then on Friday, March 29th, Friday before Election Tuesday, it goes from 8 to 5 p.m. So mark your calendars accordingly if April 2nd is a tough day to get there, and take advantage of that opportunity. Also, the city is looking for poll workers, so be sure to contact Gina at the city clerk's office, the city clerk, if you're interested, and you do get compensated for that. So, and also want to mention there's new polling locations for voting this year. If your polling location changed, you should have received a postcard in the mail. But just in case polling location changes, St. Mary's will move to the Waukesha Public Library at 321 Wisconsin Avenue, where they're having the community tile project today. St. John Newman's will move to Bridge Church, 1314 South Grand Avenue. And then St. William of Montevergine's will move to the Northview building, corner of Grandview and Northview on 1721 Northview Road. Again, if you received a postcard, please take it with you on Election Day, as signs for your entrance and voting location will match your postcard color. Your postcard also contains your ward number. So if you didn't receive a postcard and want to verify your polling location, just contact the city. So much more to talk about, including a question for all of you. What does radio mean to you? And then more with my guests, Stephanie and Angelique. And don't forget, the Carol Minute's also coming up. And my guest next week is incumbents for re-election, Anthony Zenobia. Here, this is Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Show.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The outdoor season is almost upon us, and adventure is waiting. So let Prosser's premium RV outlet take care of all your RV needs, with 114 units on sale and unbeatable prices. And if you missed them at the Milwaukee RV Show, don't worry, the sale continues through Saturday. From travel trailers to folding campers, teardrops to motorhomes, fifth wheels to truck campers, Prosser's has you covered, and with easy financing too. Head to 13815 Let's Beer Road in Sturtevant, or log on to theprosserrv.com and kickstart the season today.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Shaw, WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. This is the Shaw, WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Alderman Don Paul Brown, and the song you're listening to is our very own Les Paul with "The World Is Waiting for the Sunrise." And just as that song came out, the sun has really made a big appearance here on the stage. Here, great work on that, Johnny. Maybe we should have Les Paul come on sooner with that song. But again, I am joined by challengers or candidates for the Waukesha School Board, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, and we are talking a little bit about their experiences and their platforms and why they think they could be a great fit for our school board. Let me ask, how has the campaign been going for you both?
Seems like it's been going well. Yeah. Got lots of good feedback and interaction with the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a meet and greet event at the library on Thursday night, and nice. That was wonderful. I think there was a lot of people that were coming, and I was just so encouraged that people are taking the time to really consider how important this role is and who they would want to vote for, and just get a chance to get to know the candidates and familiarize themselves with the issues and the roles and why it's so important. So that was
That's great. Nice. Yeah. So what else have you been doing to get the word out, if I may ask?
Yeah, we've been both getting out and knocking on doors, which has been really enlightening. Asking people what they care about. And, you know, often it's even little things. I live near Hatfield and was talking to people in my neighborhood, and they were concerned about teachers don't have a place to park after the schools merge. So just trying to get out there. We've got lots of volunteers that are helping us drop off literature on doors.
I'm trying to think.
Got lots of signs out.
Yes, we've had people contacting us and putting yard signs out, so delivering those. And then we've sent some emails out, and then Facebook advertising and getting the word out that way. So
that's terrific. Sounds good. Have you been heading over to Carroll to look for any voter eligible juniors and seniors?
We did meet with some Carroll students who are excited about making sure people know to vote for small elections, and some students there interested in getting involved as well.
Sounds great. And we're taking your calls for Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, candidates for the Waukesha School Board, 844-967-2789. And callers, too, another question we've been posing, it's actually across the Civic Media Network, is what does radio mean to you? What has it meant for your life? And before we get to that with us, Stephanie and Angelique, real quick on the Carroll Minute, Carroll University women's lacrosse team is off to a very promising 4-0 start. Their last win was a 10-4 victory over Aurora University in Montgomery, Illinois. Freshman sensation Elizabeth Wang led all Pios with 4 goals. Wang comes to us all the way from Wildomar, California. And so it's great that our university city attracts people from all over the country, even different parts of the world. So, and then down in New Orleans, all region honorees for the 2024 NCAA Division III indoor track and field season were announced on Tuesday by the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association, with Carroll's lone representative being senior Vanessa Utenbrook, earning the distinction in the shot put. The top 5 individuals in each event from each region on the year and descending order lists earned all region distinctions in addition to each member of the region's top 3. A native of Kaukauna, Wisconsin, Utenbrook is a 3-time conference champion in the shot put, winning her 3rd straight title just a couple weeks ago. She currently ranks 3rd in the event in all of Division 3 with a distance of 14.9 meters, which qualified her for the NCAA Division 3 Indoor National Championships. She's a 2-time All-American, And Utenbrook has now qualified for nationals 8 times, with this being her 3rd consecutive appearance at indoor nationals. So she will compete today at 1:30 p.m. our time at the Virginia Beach Sports Center, Virginia Beach, Virginia. So you can actually watch these live events if you're interested at NCAA.com/event/4406. So congratulations to Ms. Utenbrook. And yeah, real quick, Stephanie and Angelique, what has radio meant to you in your life? We're switching gears from the campaign here.
Well, as soon as you say radio, I guess it kind of brings me back to like my childhood, you know, listening to the radio in the kitchen with my mom, and then getting older, waiting for your favorite song to come on to record to make that mixtape.
That's right.
Calling into the contest. Yeah.
Calling into the contest. Yep.
It's funny. I think, like, you know, my routine, you know, drive to work in the morning, you hear the same DJs, whatever station, you know, is yours. And you feel like you get this relationship with them. And then sometimes when the DJs leave, you're like, oh my gosh, my friend. Yeah. Like,
you know who I miss? And I should be careful because I'm obviously very loyal to Civic Media, but Joy Cardine on NPR. What was the name of her show? It was on early in the morning. It was like 6 to 8, I think. It was a wonderful show. And she finally retired after like 20 or 30 years on radio. And she was definitely a juggernaut for Wisconsin radio. I really enjoyed and miss her. I wonder what she's doing now. You figured you'd think someone would have her back on. I imagine she lives in Madison too, but I always really enjoyed Joy Cardine during my morning commutes. So for sure. So, but speaking of commutes, you two must be really hitting the bricks and going door to door on your own, connecting with neighbors and families. How's that been going?
Yeah, I think it's been going pretty well when you get a hold of people. I think that's the hardest part. I think today, just like phone calls, a lot of people don't answer their doors. It's been interesting for me, the amount of people that are like, oh, school board, I don't have kids in school. And maybe not realizing the importance of public schools for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I try to talk to people about like our kids in schools today are the ones that are going to be leading our future, taking care of us, that we really still need to invest in those public schools. And hopefully they're paying attention.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I believe the city of Waukesha is still hiring a lot of great opportunities. It's a great city to work for, and they do a great job. But again, we need good public schools to support the future of our city, as well as the world around us. Police, fire, you name it, your accountant, it's tax season. All those people came from some high school, and most likely a public high school. And so that's why whether your children have grown and left the house or you don't have children, it's good public schools is a very important part of our life here.
Yep.
So terrific. So what else was I going to ask? Oh my gosh, I'm stumped. Are you going to be doing any campaigning today on this beautiful Saturday while the sun's still out?
Yeah. Today, after I leave here, I'm going to be first dropping off some yard signs, working on some computer work that we need to do to kind of keep things moving, and then dropping off some lit.
Yep. Yard signs too.
I'm on back-to-back 12s, so this is the extent of my campaigning today. So.
Okay, well, terrific. Well, we're grateful for your service and at the Waukesha Memorial Hospital, that's for sure. So, but I'm glad you mentioned yard signs because I learned a hard lesson first time I ran. I figured I'd be very grassroots, and it cost me. The next time I bought like 50 signs and won by a gigantic margin, and it was like one of my former colleagues in the council, Dan Mannion, said that. Signs can't vote for you, but he'd never heard of anyone that won an election without signs.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're doing that and getting the name out. So we have so much more to talk about here on This Week in Waukesha, more local news, some birthday announcements, and a National Reading Month, too. So join us with Stephanie Fidlin and Angelique Byrne, candidates for the school board. And don't forget, my guest next week is a school board incumbent and candidate, Anthony Smovia, here on This Week in Waukesha.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Senate passed a bipartisan budget bill to keep the government open again. What's ahead? CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
There's a March 22nd deadline for some bigger, thornier programs in the Pentagon and Homeland Security. This has been a year of short-term measures in the U.S. Congress.
The president's out on the campaign trail. CBS's Natalie Brand with where he'll be trying to gain voters today.
Both the current president and former will hold dueling rallies in Georgia, another battleground state, on Saturday ahead of the primary there Tuesday.
A ship with aid headed to Gaza is getting ready to leave from Cyprus through a maritime corridor built by the European Union. The BBC's Wira Davis is in Jerusalem.
This is a test run this weekend. If it works, and it's a big if, I think, then that will become a regular route for aid from Cyprus towards Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Bucks lose in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lakers were without LeBron James due to a sore ankle, but still managed to beat the Bucks 123-122. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard's shot blocked at the buzzer. Coverage on ESPN.
He'll come off a Giannis screen and get it near midcourt with 5 seconds. Lillard, step back, blocked by Dinwiddie. Loose ball, game over. Huge win for the Lakers without James. So now two straight losses for the Bucks. Winning 6 in a row out of the All-Star break.
College hockey. The Badgers men's team fell 3-1 to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. Game 2 tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center. Up in Minnesota, the Badgers women's team with a win over the Gophers 4-3 in overtime.
Now a wraparound attempt. Rebound attempt. They score!
Coverage on the Big Ten Network with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, highs in the low 40s with a chance of rain and snow. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 29. Sunshine, mid-40s on your Sunday. Mid-50s on Monday with sunshine. For Tuesday, partly sunny, we push into the upper 50s.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Shaw at 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the devil's advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Let it
Each one is smarter. Some say men, but I say no. Women got the men like a puppet show. It ain't me, it's the people that say men are leading the women astray. I say it's the women today, smarter than the men in every place. That's right, the women are smarter. That's right, the women are smarter.
You're listening to This Week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday morning, March 9th. And those are my friends, the Grateful Dead, with The Women Are Smarter in honor of Women's History Month and International Women's Day yesterday. You know, I'd learned recently, and my guests again are school board candidates, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin. I learned yesterday International Women's Day came about as a result to a lot of the oppression going on in what's known as the Global South against women, and I guess in other countries around the world. And so it isn't just about advancing women's rights here locally and nationally, but also globally, where in some countries they may be light years behind. So it's good that we have that acknowledgement, and it was interesting to learn about some of the different commemorations going on around the world in honor of Women's Day. And we have a caller, one of our favorite callers. Is that right, Johnny? Is this Triple G, Greg Wansnyder? Greg, are you there? Hang on. Hello, Greg. Nothing yet. Let's see. Oh, there he is. Hey, Greg. Sorry, we just tuned
in. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. What's on your mind, friend?
Good. Well, I just wanted to share with you two quick things, and one quick thing, and then I have a comment for a question for your guests, Angelique and Stephanie, who I believe I both know. Stephanie, I believe I know your family pretty well. But,
fantastic.
March 23rd, I am emceeing an event at Carroll University called Waffles for Wishes, and I would encourage people to come out. It's to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Nice.
And it's going to be from 10 until noon on that day, and it's going to be in Carroll's campus center Stackner Ballroom.
The Stackner Ballroom.
101 Northeast Avenue, and really excited. There is going to be regular and gluten-free waffle options. This is hosted in conjunction with one of the sororities there. And again, it's called Waffles for Wishes. So Stephanie, Angelique, Don, maybe we'll see you guys there.
Thanks for the invite, Greg. And you know, I'm a big fan of Make-A-Wish. And so, yeah, that's 2 weeks from today. So, and I can come after my show. So save me a seat, Greg, and some waffles. I know one of my daughters will come. She loves waffles. So
we may have some live music there too. And as Angelique knows, I'm a big fan of live music. I started helping with Angelique and getting some of her KM Perform musicians as she was a teacher at that. Oh, wow. You were a teacher at that charter school, Angelique, for a while. But my question for you guys is, how important is it for you guys to get, I mean, we talked about the door-to-door, but these events that, you know, have been happening, the library, Sunset Bowl, how important is it to just get out and about into the community and do these events? Because, you know, I'm kind of a nerd in this way. Ever since attending college, my favorite channels are the school district channel and the City of Waukesha community channel on cable TV. And so I watch all the board meetings. But
did you see me at City Council giving public comment, Greg, last Tuesday? You already missed that one. I was at City Council giving public comment about Hillcrest Park. Yeah, you'll have to check that one out. But I apologize, I interrupted. Continue, my friend.
How important is it for you and as the school board just being transparent and being open and honest with the community and truly listening to the feedback that the community gives? And Don, I will check out your interview, but I'll let these wonderful women talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Triple G.
Well, Greg, it's nice to talk to you. This is Stephanie. My husband and Greg were in a college ministry together, so that's how I know him. And he's just a Waukesha staple. So
yeah. He is, yeah.
But I think it's so important. And that's why I think the meet and greets and these events and going door to door and really just talking to people and getting in front of them face to face, you can write anything on a website. You can write anything, you know, on a piece of literature. But there's nothing that beats, you know, meeting face to face, having people be able to ask you questions and give honest responses, you know. And I think that's really important because people want to know who's going to be in those seats, who's going to be making those decisions, and they want to kind of get to know a little bit of a piece of your heart. And so I think that's really important, just, you know, having that face-to-face. And transparency in communication, I think, is so important. It's something that Angelique and I kind of instantly bonded on, which is we didn't know each other prior to this. But we so agree that that's just been lacking in our district, whether it's the lack of parental surveys. Or even there have been people who, and I personally, have emailed board members and gotten either no response or a very inappropriate response, I think, for an elected official. And so I just think that transparency and being open, you know, parents, they absolutely have a right to, you know, to question things or to have concerns. And I think that being proactive in communication is something that we could really improve upon, because I feel like a lot of times this board and this district is very reactive to once parents complain. But getting ahead of it, you know, and being more proactive in our communication, I think is so important. But then just being open, you know, that you've been elected into this position. So you're a public servant. So, you know, parents have a right to ask you questions, and they deserve a timely and appropriate response.
Sure. Angelique?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really, really important that we're listening to people. I think that's part of maybe the trouble we've been in Waukesha. We're not truly listening to everybody and then trying to find common ground. Even if people are like, yeah, I want to vote for Angelique, they're probably not going to agree with everything, right? We're all different types of people and we have different experiences and opinions. But if we can come together, I think we can make positive change. And as far as the transparency, I think there's been a lot of lost trust by a lot of parents who have either had programming changed very last minute or their school has closed or moved last minute. And then what you hear from people is, well, maybe I'm going to look elsewhere for my education. And because we do have a lot of ways of doing that in our state, I think it's really important that we're thinking about attracting and retaining our students, not just teachers. We talk about teachers, but also in open enrollment and the environment we are in declining enrollment. We really need to listen to people and find out what they need here to keep them here.
Yeah. It does seem paradoxical because guests on my previous shows, Waukesha has this legacy of people growing up here and coming back to live here.
Yeah, that's my family.
Yeah. How many generations of your family have lived here?
My husband grew up here. You know, he graduated from Waukesha North.
Sure.
And so, you know, when we got married and started our family, we were in Bayview. But when it was time for our kids to go to school, we were kind of like, you know, we were faced with some school choices in Milwaukee. And we needed more space, to be honest, house-wise, because we had 3 kids in 3.5 years.
Sure.
And we came back to Waukesha to raise a family here. And, you know, if God sees so fit, they'll go to Waukesha North. You know what I mean?
Sure,
so,
sure.
And so that's, you know, the legacy. And his brothers went there. And so it's just like, yeah, I think that's important, you know. So it's where he grew up.
One of my potential guests on March 30th, Christine Marks, who is a Waukesha South Marching Band mother, Booster Club member, she'll be promoting Wisconsin Badger Marching Band is coming on April 7th to South. And I believe the other high school marching bands will also be participating in this very special event. But Christine's family, her daughter, that's a senior, the 3 generations of the same family, I guess the Pugh family is her maiden name, lived in Waukesha. And so, and there's so many other families. Mayor Sean Riley, who was here a few weeks back, the Rileys have lived in Waukesha for more than 100 years. And so if we have this great legacy of people choosing to come back and live here and raise their families, you'd figure that it seems contrary that enrollments are going down at our schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just go kind of leave it at that. And I guess that's one of the reasons why you're running.
Right.
So,
I mean, families have choices, like Angelique said, you know, and so they can choose to send them to any school. So I think, you know, I can speak as a parent. I want my kids to go to the schools where they're going to have the best opportunities, whether that's program choices. I mean, I think about the personalized learning program choice that we enrolled our daughter in, and now that's going away for other, you know, families. You know, or just academic performance. You know, the Waukesha schools were the lowest performing district in all of Waukesha County. You want your kids to have the best opportunities. And so, you know, if we want to bring students here and keep our students here in this district, we've got to do more to improve what the schools are doing right now. So,
no doubt.
Yeah, I think we need to really think about the programming we have, because otherwise we'll lose students to similar programming elsewhere. And right now there are a lot of different options for people. And we also have other state charters that are opening up in our area. And then people who feel like they don't have the right choices here and then go, oh, well, we can open a school too. But that's just going to fracture our school systems. So I really think we should be doing more to talk to our parents and community and ask them, what would you like to see in our schools so we can build it here instead of people building schools outside of our district that are still public and then siphoning off.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really important we're talking to people to find out what they want.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had, I guess last week was John Shane Connect, who's essentially been the foremost historian of our city. And he was saying, yeah, that we need, there's so much of Waukesha history. Like, a lot of people don't know who Theodora Yamans was. And I think she's an American hero. And right here from Waukesha. But John mentioned, yeah, we need more ethnic history of Waukesha. We need more African-American history of Waukesha. He did, I'm Irish, and it's also Irish-American History Month. And he mentioned that there was an area in the north side. He said, like, they described him as Bluffs. That was an Irish neighborhood. It's known to be pretty tough. And he mentioned President Kennedy's visits to Waukesha and to Milwaukee that the Freeman had captured. And John also had a, you know, was a regular columnist for the Freeman, sharing Waukesha history. But anyway, this is my point as a parent, is like, I'd love to see more history on the Irish famine, which was a huge watershed in American history. It really changed the face of American history from the mid 19th century on. And that should be, there's a lot of lessons to be learned there, especially about understanding hunger and about, just the different ethnicities. I hate that a lot of people are just thrown into one box and just called white. And we're, you know, we're from all sorts of different cultures and tribes, beautiful and just amazing ones. And that should be shared. We should be learning more about the Holocaust and all these things. And yes, even kind of the unfortunate or inequities of American history that are learning opportunities, and they're not intended to make people feel ashamed, but intended to educate people so we can make better choices moving forward.
Yeah, and I agree the local piece is so important. If we can help our students see how it connects to them here, it's not as foreign or abstract when they're learning about it. Because I work at the Valar Phillips School, we just did a whole push to learn about who she was and what she did for the city of Milwaukee. And what was really interesting is our kids really, really were interested, and then they made way more connections to local government and how could you get involved in your community, because they saw, one, they saw representation. We also talked about that she was a woman, and when she ran, she didn't put any pictures of herself out, and then she ended up pregnant, and then she hid it the whole time because she was afraid she wouldn't be elected. So our students related to some of those stories in different ways, and then they were more excited to learn.
Well, and then there's always other little treasures you find, too, because we had this discussion with John last week about where the black shirt nickname came from. And after the show, he emailed me and Johnny some great articles on the origins of the black shirt name. And in that article, in his discovery, he learned that the guy who invented those individual yard markers on football fields, that started in Waukesha. The first football field ever to have individual yard markers, not the traditionally they had the 5-yard markers, was Hartle Field here. And then University of Wisconsin and Madison was the first university or college or pro field to have it. And this guy from Waukesha ended up selling the rights and the measurements to the NFL and the college. And so it's another great example. Waukesha is also a city of invention. Like, I'm more impressed that Les Paul's in the Inventors Hall of Fame than I am that he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's just so many great innovations happening here at the most local levels. And history can guide us. History can teach us more of those things.
Yeah, for sure.
So
those future inventors are in our schools right now. So we want to talk about that.
Speaking of innovations, for those of you listening on radio, you can also be catching This Week in Waukesha and a lot of other great programming in the Civic Media app. You can download it from your smartphone and take us with you everywhere you go. And the nice thing, too, is as you're traveling on the state, you know, we have over 20 stations. And so you can catch local news, local culture, local events using the Civic Media app, including if you're, for those of you who vacation up north at your summer homes, you can catch Brewer games up there as well on the radio. So Packers and Badgers. So much more to talk about here with our school board candidates, Angelique Byrne, Stephanie Fidlin.
Also, March 23rd is a new member of Waukesha, an entrepreneur, chiropractor named Daytona Grebo, and we're looking for some more entrepreneurs to join us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The outdoor season is almost upon us, and adventure is waiting. So let Prosser's Premium RV Outlet take care of all your RV needs, with 114 units on sale and unbeatable prices. And if you missed them at the Milwaukee RV Show, don't worry, the sale continues through Saturday. From travel trailers to folding campers, teardrops to motorhomes, fifth wheels to truck campers, Prosser's has you covered, and with easy financing too. Head to 13815 Let's Beer Road in Sturtevant, or log on to theprosserrv.com and kickstart the season today.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Start the season today.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Johnny on the board here, and my special guests, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, candidates for our Waukesha School Board. And I also wanted to mention today is, or this month is National Reading Month. In honor of Dr. Seuss's birthday, March is designated as National Reading Month, a month to motivate Americans of all ages to read every day. And so, Stephanie, Angelique, what are you reading currently?
I have been big into audiobooks because I've been doing a lot of driving around and delivering signs and things like that. So I love audiobooks, and I love our Waukesha Public Library has a wonderful selection. So I'm always going in there and grabbing some. So I most recently have been listening to Oprah Winfrey's What I Know for Sure. And that is, I think it's just so encouraging, inspiring. I mean, speaking of Women's Month, I mean, what a powerhouse of a woman. She's
sure.
Multi-hyphenate, yeah. Done it all.
Milwaukee denizen.
Yes, yeah.
From her youth.
But yeah, that's been inspiring. So
terrific. Angelique?
Yeah, I have a neighborhood book club, and our book this month is The Lost Apothecary, which has been a really interesting book, fiction. So that's been my book for fun. But during the school year, I'm always reading about, I don't know, 5 to 10 different books about instruction or reading to try to help our students. So I've been doing more of that lately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, is how many book clubs are out there? I'm reminded of a fond memory, fond and bittersweet, of course, when my mother passed away a year ago at her funeral in her eulogy. Me and my sister had obviously mentioned the things that my mom was proudest of, you know, first woman in her family to graduate from college. You know, happily married to my father for well over 65 years, earned a master's degree, you know, was an educator, a Latin teacher, scholar, raised, you know, brought 10 children into the world. And just a remarkable life. But she was proudest of in her later years that she joined or helped start a book club among her closest friends in our community. And one that lasted for many years, you know, before her death, and was something that she always looked forward to, and would feed book ideas to the rest of us through that. So there's just so much more. But what if we get some of our youth to participate in book club? That would be, and again, that's something that schools should be driving. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. I was lucky enough because of the format of the school I worked in, that was in Kettle Moraine. We did a lot of book clubs with our kids as part of the curriculum. And what was amazing to watch was how they talked about the topics together, and even if they didn't have the same views or opinions, they were bringing them forward and they were able to discuss through it, because often the books were about people different from them or a time different from now. And I think that discussion was more powerful than some of the other things we were doing with the books.
Sure. What are some books from your youth that you remember that inspired you in one way or another or affected you? that you would encourage this generation of youth to read?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Saturday morning with a little coffee in my brain.
That's it. Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's not a. This was.
And this wasn't on my script, so that's why okay, I just kind of. Yeah. But.
Just. I mean, from a very young age, I loved poetry. I loved Shel Silverstein, like Where the Sidewalk Ends and Lion Attic. Those are like, I remember fighting over those books, like in the library, like to check out, like because our school only had like one or two copies. So it was always like, you know, oh my gosh, I got it and taking it home. And I, you know, I wrote poetry like in high school is how I dealt with my you know, teen angst or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I hadn't, I don't think I would have maybe used that as an outlet, a creative outlet, if I hadn't, liked reading those, you know, and they were silly and funny, but they were just something cute, you know, and I think that that was just inspiring to me, like, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's really making me think, because I was not a reader as a kid. I was a struggling student when I was in school, which is a big reason why I became a teacher, because I had some experiences that were not good. But so when I think back to my earliest enjoyment of reading, I remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Where you got to pick, like you got to the end of the chapter, it was like you could either do this or this. And for me, that engagement, I think, was huge. And then I'm thinking back to when I was in high school, I had a teacher senior year give us a list of, these are all the books you should read before you go to college. And some of them were books that probably are now in our AP curriculums, or maybe back then it was the honors curriculum.
Yeah. Where do they go?
Right.
Are they still around?
Probably. I mean, I think good teachers do stuff like that all the time.
Summer reading list?
Yeah. But I just remember reading those books and being like, oh, why weren't they giving me these books earlier in high school?
Right.
Well, I wasn't in the advanced class, so I wasn't getting them.
Yeah.
But it was, those books were more about other cultures,
right,
other people. They weren't just the, I don't know, some of the books that I thought were boring that I was reading in class. So that was huge. And I think that it just makes me think about, what do we want kids to read? We need to be giving them the options to read many, many different things.
That's what made me think about those AP lists. Virginia Woolf, A Room of One's Own. Like, I remember reading that the summer before my senior year, and thinking ahead to like college applications, and like I'm striking out on my own, and you know, independent woman and things. So yeah, those lists are important. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, want to clarify a thing? I think I gave out a number in error. Is this correct, Johnny? The number, if people want to call on the show, is 414-441-2941. Did I get that correct?
That's how Greg got through.
Okay. 414-441-2941. So apologies. But we are taking your calls for Stephanie Fidlin and Angelique Byrne, candidates. And what books are kids reading these days? Like, I remember like Harry Potter, like that whole series, like really invigorated a lot of youth and kids of all ages, quite frankly, to get back into reading. Like, libraries, like kids would have their birthday parties at public libraries, like sleepovers, with a Harry Potter theme. And it's like, it seemed to me like every library in America should have like a statue to J.K. Rowling's, because she inspired young people to read.
For sure.
We have a caller here. Is this Kurt? Is that right? Kurt, what's on your mind, friend? I'm not hearing anything. Give us a moment. Kurt?
Hey, sorry about that. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Hi, Kurt. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I had a question for both Stephanie and Angelique.
Fire away.
I was wondering if they would have voted for the parental rights and transparency resolution that was passed by the school board last year.
Sure, I can start. So the first thing I want to say is, a lot of the things that are in that parental rights resolution are already either rights that exist or policy that exists or are already backed up by law. I probably would not voted for it in the form it's in now, because a lot of it that is not maybe targeted in those laws already focus on certain demographics of students. And I don't know that they're all things that I would vote for. Sure.
Hey, Kurt, hang on the line if you don't mind. We're moving into the next hour here, and so we want to give Stephanie a chance to respond here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. So yeah, Kurt, and all of you, don't go away. We got another hour to go here.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Coming up Monday on Nat Nair On Air, join us for three headlines and a lie, and we learn about organ donation with Versity's Colleen McCarthy. I hope you can join us.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. We've